What a beautiful song. Thank you
for sharing that.
Yes.
What a great gift to that prayer of giving faith. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 45 through 49. And this is as Jesus appears to his disciples. Listen to for the word of God. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
However comfortable we may be in our places of worship and our places of fellowship, we must never forget a two-letter command that Jesus gave us following the resurrection. And that two-letter command, that word, two-letter word command, is G-O, go. You know, if all we ever did as a church was to gather for worship and to gather for fellowship, as good as that is, it would be like a football team that only huddles up but never runs a play. It's not complete because Jesus gives us this two-letter word, go. So, where are we to go? Well, if you turn to the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, we're familiar with that. Go into all the world. Now, if you go over to Acts, there in the first chapter, Jesus is talking to the disciples about going where you are, starting where you are, in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, go by starting where you're at and draw concentric circles wider and wider until you reach the furthest parts of the earth. Well, you know, we may go as close by as into our own homes to be witnesses. And that's the best place to begin. Go into your home to be a witness. We can go to nearby places like our neighborhoods and our communities. We can walk across the street to be a good witness. You know, we can go to far off places. And many of you have already done that. And as you have heard from Randall, many from this church for 21 years have been going to Bosnia. Others have been going to Bolivia, some to Zimbabwe, far off. Whether it's near or far, but there are places in between, like the Appalachian Mountains. But when Jesus says that we are to go, I'd like for us not just to think of it in terms of geographical areas. Ellsworth Callis, who was a presenter on the Disciple One Bible study, had a way of really gaining my attention when he would help me to see things in a different light. He said that when Jesus said, go into all the world, it's not just geographical, but it's the different spheres of life. Go into the world of commerce. Go into the world of industry. Go into the world of entertainment. Go into the world of sports. Go into the world of finances. Go into all these different areas to be a witness. And I like that. So, we are to go, and it can be just about anywhere. And matter of fact, it can be everywhere. Now, an interesting thing that I've been thinking of lately is that when we actually leave our comfort zone and go, we don't always know what to expect. We may have a warm welcome, or we may have a very cold welcome. We may have to suffer hardship, or we may enjoy degree of comfortable environments. We may face hostility. We may be embraced. We may find that we walk into a field that's ripe unto harvest, or we may feel that we walk into a place that we can only sow seeds among rocky grounds and nothing bears fruit. We don't always know what's going to happen as a result of our going. Matter of fact, we have great uncertainties, but Jesus says, go, and so we go. And I remember that day, some 21 years ago, when people lined up in the sanctuary up front to be the first mission team to go to Bosnia. And Craig Gaither headed that up. United Methodist Church decided that we needed to go to that place to help build bridges between conflicting cultures and to overcome hostilities by beginning to work with children to give them a safe place to play and to learn and to do the things that little children need to do. Now, let me tell you, they didn't know what they were getting into. It was difficult. But we've had teams to go for 21 years. And what Randall did not tell you is that not only has he gone, but his son has gone. His son gave the mission moment last year. And his daughter, Anna, has gone. And they didn't know what to expect. But thanks be to God, because of their willingness to go and to be consistent, some of those little children now are in their 20s and 30s and getting close to 40. They have a different worldview now. They have hopes and dreams for their future. Some of them have gone on to college. Some of them have come to America. Some of them are going back. And I just want to put in a good word for those people who decided to go. You don't always know what to expect. You know, when I think about people who do these heroic things in ministry, I think of people like Eric Little. How many saw the movie Chariots of Fire? I hope that you're familiar with the story of Eric Little. He was from Scotland. In 1924, he ran in the Paris Olympics for Great Britain. He was scheduled to run in the 100-yard meter race. It was predicted that he would win a gold medal in the 100-meter race, but because it was being held on a Sunday, because of his faith, he decided that he would not run that race, though he knew that he was the fastest in the world. And someone, the trainer, gave him a little piece of paper with these words on it: "He who honors God, God will honor. Keep to your faith." And so he decided to run the 400 meters. He wasn't fully expected to succeed in the 400 meters. He was certainly able to run the 400 meters. But when he ran the 400 meters, he won the gold medal for Great Britain in Paris Olympics. Now, his mother and father were missionaries in China, and they raised him to believe in Jesus Christ and to be his disciple. And Eric Little felt a call upon his life to go back to China. He remembered as a little boy playing with the Chinese children and developing friendships and seeing his mother and dad share the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. And he wanted to be able to go back and to continue into that good work. So in 1925, he went. But he went to an entirely different China. China had been invaded by Japan. Japan had set up internment camps of punishment, and the Chinese people began to suspect foreigners who were coming into their country, and those who came as Christians and missionaries were often sought out and executed. But nonetheless, Eric Little remained there the rest of his life, with the exception of two trips back to Scotland. And he gave his life up, and it ended in a Japanese internment camp. And you think about that. for a famous athlete like that, gold medal, could have done anything else he wanted to do, but he followed Jesus' command, and though it brought him to a place of hardship and struggle, he was faithful. Stories are still being collected of the things he did. On his bicycle, he would go around and pick up people literally lying in the street, and he would take them to the hospital, sometimes under gunfire attack. When he had a stroke, it was also found that he had a brain tumor. But he was conscious enough to say these words, "I totally surrendered." Wow. Those stories inspire me. I totally surrendered. I went, no matter what. Well, you know, there are persons who are less known, who are, in my book, important figures for us to look up to. I remember when I was in seminary, there was a woman present. And the thing that stands off in my mind here is that this woman was Gladys Williford. She was a single mother. She had a daughter. I didn't really get to know her all that much, but she was the first ordained woman in the North Carolina Annual Conference. She was ordained a deacon in 1972, and in 1975, she was ordained an elder. She was the first woman to be ordained a United Methodist minister in our conference. Now, it was at General Conference of 1956 that the law was passed that women could be ordained. But this was still such a new thing. And so Gladys Williford, as a single mother, followed God's call and was willing to go wherever she was sent. And lo and behold, she was sent to some of the most rural areas of eastern North Carolina. And she would show up and they'd say, "We don't want a woman pastor. Why are you here?" She spent her entire ministry giving her life to wherever she was sent, whether she received a good reception or a bad reception. But let me tell you this, Gladys Williford had a smile on her face. Because she knew for whom she was serving. And that he was able to provide and sustain her. And it was for Jesus Christ that she went. And you know what? Well, she retired not too long ago. At our conference back in 2006, we celebrated 50 years of ministry of women in the United Methodist Church. And she's now been recorded in the history books for what she did. Now, let me share this with you. By the time she would be at a church and then get ready to go to another church, they didn't want her to leave. Again, she had no way of expecting. But she was the kind of person who just went. Because Jesus called her. You know, you don't have to be a pastor. And you know, recently, I had lunch with a layperson. You may know him. He's the anchor man for WRAL, David Crabtree. I had lunch with him because I was talking about some things that we were doing, planning for the Cross and Key Banquet at our church in August. And he's going to be the MC for that. And I simply asked him a question. I said, "You know, David, do you have any kind of background at all in prison ministry?" And not really expecting anything other than, "Well, I really admire people who are involved in prison ministry." And he said, do you know, many years ago at WRAL, they asked me to do a series of faith stories that could be presented on TV. I reluctantly decided to do that, but I didn't want to do just any story. I wanted to think about what are the things that are being done that are of tremendous interest. And he heard about a ministry to death row inmates at North Carolina Central Prison. And somehow or another, he was a part of documenting these stories of what was happening on death row and the ministry to people there. And God called him to come back as a visitor, to visit a certain man. And he visited this certain man over again, and he began to see the needs. And he with others developed a hospice program that can go into the prisons and care for people on death row who are very, very sick. He helped establish a communion ministry in which he and others would go into the prison and on death row provide communion. That was an ordinary layperson. Well, you never know what to expect. There are no certainties. There are also no promises other than, lo, I'll be with you always. So listen up. So why do we go? Why do we go to Bosnia? Why do we go to Zimbabwe? Why do we go to Bolivia? Why do we go to death row? Why do we go to Eastern North Carolina? Why do we go back to China? Why do we go? We go because we are a sent people. Jesus says, go. You know, the benediction is for a lot of people just something that the pastor says at the end. It says, you can go home now. But that's not really what it's about. The benediction are words that a pastor pronounces over people that places the blessing of God on them and then sends them out to share that blessing into the world. You know, so many times I've caught myself, I receive a blessing, but by the time I get to the lunch table, I'm rude to the waitress and to the waiter, and I haven't done anything with that blessing. But we're literally to receive a blessing and to take it out into the world wherever we go, whether it's to a place, a restaurant that we eat at today or wherever else it is. That's the first thing that I want us. That's the first reason why we go, is because we are a sent people and a benediction is spoken over us. Second reason we go is this. We are witnesses. Now, if we're not a witness, it's hard to go to talk about Jesus. But if you've experienced His grace in a way that's touched your life, changed your life, if you've experienced real forgiveness and you know the blessing of what it means to be forgiven, if you have experienced His love in a way that's personal, convincing, and life-transforming, if you have experienced something of great, great value, you cannot help but want to share with others. And again, regardless of the reception you may receive, because you're doing it out of gratitude to God and you're doing it out of the command that Jesus gives us, and you're also giving it out of a true, true belief in God's Word. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. Do not give up, for in due time you will reap a harvest. Whether it's today or tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or someday, but one day we know there'll be a harvest. Now, we're in a series called The Seven Next Words of Jesus. In other words, we're familiar with the seven last words of Jesus on the cross. We've been talking about the seven next words of Jesus following the resurrection, and up to now we've had four, beginning on Easter Day, and they all have actually been about addressing the disciples' emotions, reactions, uncertainties, their fears, words that Jesus needed to say to them. But with this fifth saying, the focus is turning now outward. And it is defining the theme of Jesus' last moments with His disciples. Because He is now getting ready to leave them. And He's sending them. And so from here on out, it's all about... Any of y'all ever have a graduation? Any of you ever walk to the front door of your house with your parents and you're getting ready to go off for college? Any of you come to a marker event in your life when you know that you're getting ready to leave one place and go into another place? Well, Jesus is lining these disciples up and saying, prior to now, you could always come back, but from here on out, it's about going and not turning back. Go into all the world. It's been said, Jesus has no hands but our hands to do his work today. It's been said that Jesus has no feet to lead others in his way. It's been said that Jesus has no voice but our voice to tell others how he died. It's been said that Jesus has no other help but our help to lead others to his side. The invitation today is not just to come, it's to go. Let us stand.